Well, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you we can be here today. And Lord, we thank you that there are places all over our country where your word is being opened this very moment. And people are hearing what you have to say. We know that there are many in this country of ours who hardly ever hear it or have not heard it, or have heard it and rejected it. And they don't seek to live their life according to what you have spoken. And we see the destruction of our country due to that. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to be that salt in this sinful world that we live in. And that, Father, we would make a difference. And Lord, we need your daily cleansing. We need that renewing of our mind through the washing of thy word. And I pray that as we stop and consider your word this day, we would take hold of this opportunity and allow your word and the Spirit of God to minister to us this day. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking at the body on Sunday mornings. And we have looked at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have also looked at the hands of our Heavenly Father. We saw that 2 weeks ago. And we saw how, in regards to our Heavenly Father's hands, they should bring us a lot of comfort for many reasons. We learnt that our Father has a creative hand. He has secure hands. He has convicting hands. He has helping hands, giving hands, and he has safe hands as well. And I'm sure there's plenty of other things we can say about the hands of our Heavenly Father. But today I want to consider our hands and what God expects from us. So a little bit of a difference, rather than focusing on our Heavenly Father's hands, I'm going to consider our hands today. And what does our Heavenly Father want from us? Now, obviously, for those of us who are fathers, God wants our hands to be a reflection of his hands. When it comes to our own children, you know, when they see our hands, it should be a picture of what their Heavenly Father is like as well. And so we should have creative hands in the sight of our children. We should have secure hands, convicting hands, chastening hands, helping hands, giving hands, and safe hands. And I was thinking to myself that the message on the hands of our Heavenly Father and how that should go also in regards to earthly fathers, that would have made a very good Father's Day message. And I should have kept that for when is Father's Day? Next week. Next month sometime. Well, take it as an early Father's Day message, just in case I don't do one on Father's Day. I know I'm not very good at presenting a message for the occasion of the day. And so if I don't do one, take last one as the Father's Day message for this year. But we're not looking at fathers today, we're looking at every one of us. And that is, what does God expect from us in regards to our hands? You don't have to look at them, but if you look at your hands, we've all got different shaped hands and different coloured hands. Mine are generally purple in winter, but unfortunately. But some have nice brown hands and some have white hands, red hands, purple hands. We all have hands. But the question you need to ask yourself is, whose hands are they? Are they yours or are they God's? That's right. You got it right. Make sure your hands do what God wants. That's the next step. He got it right. They are God's hands. If you are a Christian, the Word of God makes it very clear that you are bought with a price, that your life, your body, including your hands, are not yours, but they are God's. And so he ultimately gets to choose what happens to your hands. And he ultimately decides what they do and how they are to be used. And to be a Christian who refuses to use your hands and obey God in regards to your hands is simply living out of rebellion. And so we need to be clear and have a clear understanding of what God expects from us in relation to our hands. I remember a preacher giving his testimony about when he first got saved, and he came from a pretty wild background, And although he was able to repent of lots of sinful ways in his life, he struggled for a long time in giving up cigarettes. And he explained in his testimony how he was, as a newborn Christian, considering 1 Corinthians 6, where it says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And he heard that verse and he was thinking about that verse, and it dawned on him that every part of his body no longer belonged to himself, but it belonged to God. And so he had to make sure that all of his body glorified the Lord. And as he was thinking about this, he looked down at his hand and he saw a cigarette in his hand. And he realized that if that was God's hand, he wouldn't be holding a cigarette. And he knows that as God, that being God's hand, that hand didn't bring glory to God as it held that cigarette. And so he realized this was something he shouldn't be allowing his hand to take part of. So he threw the cigarette away, and that was enough for him never to go back to it again. Lovely testimony. He understood that every part of his body was the Lord's, and he had to use it in the right way. And that begs the question for all of us, think of how you have used your hands this week. And the question is, would the owner of those hands be pleased with everything and every way that you've used those hands? You know, thinking of an example, I'm very thankful for how Mr. Phillips allows me to borrow so many things of his. You know, if I need a tool, he allows me to borrow his tools. If I need the use of his ute, he allows me to use his ute. And I borrowed it yesterday as well. I'm very thankful for that. But just because I borrow it, that doesn't mean I can do whatever I want with it. And I know that if I say, "Look, can I borrow your ute because I got some rubbish I want to take to the tip?" I know he's not going to have a problem with me throwing that rubbish in the back of the ute, driving down to the tip, hanging around the tip for a little while, throwing some stuff out, maybe finding something good to put back in, you know, and then going home. You know, I know he's not going to have a problem with that. But I know he'd have a problem if I went down in front of the police station and started doing burnouts. You wouldn't want me to use your ute like that, would you? That would be a misuse of his property. Right? That's his possession. I know, I'm pretty sure, Mr. Phillips wouldn't go down to the police station and start doing burnouts. And so if he wouldn't use it in that way, why should I? I know that if I was doing burnouts in front of the police station and people saw his ute, people would possibly think that's Mr. Phillips doing that, and then it brings shame to him because I'm using his possession for something that he wouldn't feel was right. Now, we all understand that when it comes to borrowing something and using it when it's not our possession. Well, the reality is, when it comes to our hands, God says they're not yours. They are His. And so He wants us to use our hands in a manner that glorifies Him and doesn't bring shame to Him. And so those funny little dangly things at the end of your arms, they're not yours. They're your Heavenly Father's. And they are to be a testimony of what God's hands are like. And so that should bring the gravity of just something as simple as our hands and how we use them. And so today what I want us to do is consider some of the things that God doesn't want us to do with our hands, and then also look at some things He does want us to do with our hands. And I'm guessing I could spend a couple of weeks on this if I really wanted to, but certainly that's not my intention. So we're going to briefly look at some things, maybe look at some other things a little bit closer. And so first of all, let's consider some things how or ways how God doesn't want us to use our hands. If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 6, would you may? Here in Proverbs chapter 6, we are told of some things that God hates. And that might be a surprise for some. I know that and when our children have been growing up, you know, they would say, "I hate vegetables," or "I hate this and hate that." I know Linda particularly will say, "We shouldn't hate anything." You know, and I know what she's meaning by that. You know, you shouldn't just go out and hate everything. But the reality is God hates some things as well. And if God hates it, well, then He expects us to hate it also. And so there are some things we're allowed to hate. Now, vegetables isn't on the list, unfortunately, so you can't hate vegetables. But there are some things that you can hate. It says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. First of all, a proud look. Secondly, a lying tongue. And then thirdly, hands that shed innocent blood." Now, there are other things as well, but we see here that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. And if God hates it, we can hate it as well. And when you consider our world today and you look around at the innocent blood that is shed throughout our whole world, our Heavenly Father must be infuriated by what He sees today. He hates the hands of those who randomly kill people just for the fun of it. He hates the hands of those who abort those little babies that He is fashioning in that womb. He hates the hands of those who kill for greed and personal gain. And we should hate these actions as well. I think that's a good reminder for us. You know, when it comes to the shedding of innocent blood, it shouldn't be something that we glorify in our life. It shouldn't be something that we are intrigued by. It shouldn't be something that we are entertained by, or we entertain ourselves by, with the killing and the shedding of innocent blood. This is something that we should hate and despise in our world. Sadly, a lot of movies and a lot of TV programs seem to make it a form of entertainment, and it shouldn't be. It's something that God hates. Now, I guess most of us won't have a problem with shedding innocent blood literally, I trust, but we should be reminded what Christ says also, that those who hate someone without a cause are just as guilty as those who have shed innocent blood. We have committed murder within our own heart. And there are many times when we can use maybe not our hands literally to kill someone and shed innocent blood, but there are many times that we can use our hands to hurt someone out of hatred for them. That does often happen amongst believers. How many times have we written something or typed something out of hatred to hurt somebody? How many times have we fulfilled our greedy desires and hurt people in the process? We need to be careful that our hands that God has lent us are not used to hurt others due to our hatred for them. That's something that God hates. We need to make sure we're not hurting people with our hands. Now, that's not the only thing He doesn't like us to use our hands for. We know that God doesn't want us to have mischievous and bribing hands as well. Turn over to Psalm 26. In Psalm 26, in verses 9 and 10, we read this. "Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men." Verse 10, "In whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes." God considers mischievous hands and bribing hands as the hands of sinful people. Now, I picked that verse particularly because the word mischief there, where their hands are full of mischief, that word is a very broad word. It can mean a lot of things. It simply means wickedness, all right? Now, that goes to everything. It can mean an evil plan for something. It can also mean to be not chaste, or it can mean incest, lasciviousness, adultery, idolatry, harlotry. It sort of expands just about anything evil that you can use your hands for, to some sort of immorality of some sort, or even using your hands to see immorality, to idolatry, that is making something your idol, to stealing, to rebellion, everything, really. So I picked this verse so that we don't have to go to plenty of verses. Basically, God doesn't want us to use our hands for anything that is evil and sinful in His sight. We bring dishonor to Him. And when you look at your life and look at your sins that you have committed over the last week, month, year, consider how your hands have been involved in that. And that's the hands of a sinner, God says. It says there also that the hands of a sinful person are full of bribes. You know, I guess we don't have to bribe too many people today in our society. Bribing is a sign that you aren't willing to rely on God to fulfill His purposes and answer prayers, but you actually have to take things into your own hands and start bribing. That doesn't happen, I guess, too much in our world. I was reminded of David Kaufman, a missionary in Zambia. You know, he was explaining to us when he was back on furlough one day that in Zambia, just about everything revolves around bribing. In those third world countries, that would be the case. If you want something done and you have to go to the council or the police or some sort of a government body, well then, that individual expects a bribe. Now, he was determined as a missionary that he wasn't going to have hands full of bribes, and so that upset a lot of people who were expecting to get a little bit of a kickback when he wanted something done. And so things that should have just taken, been very quickly done, took a very long time to happen because he refused to give anybody a bribe. And from, as far as I know, to this day, he has never bribed anyone there. But he could stand here and say how God does provide regardless, and it's better to trust Him. And now God has answered many prayers where generally nothing would get done unless there was a bribe. God was able to bring it to pass. And so he has that testimony that God does answer prayer and he's able to rely on Him rather than bringing about your own ways through your own means. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to rely on Him rather than taking things into our own hands. And so when it comes to ways that God doesn't want us to use our hands or the hands that we have on loan, He doesn't want us to hurt others with them. He doesn't want us to do evil things with them. But He wants us to rely on Him. And so that's some of the things He doesn't want us to do. But how does He want us to use our hands? What does He expect from these things? Well, please turn to James chapter 4. I guess this is the flip side to what we have been saying. And we see here that God does expect us to have clean hands. Clean hands. Now, that is a favourite topic to a lot of mums, especially around mealtime. And generally, it goes in the same sentence. Okay, it's time to eat, so go wash your hands and sit up at the table. Sort of they put it all in, you know, that whole sentence. Making sure that they've got clean hands. Or when they're dressed, ready to go out, well, then you want to make sure that their hands are kept clean so they don't dirty the clothing so that when they're ready to go out to church or wherever. And the Lord puts an importance on having clean hands as well. It says in James chapter 4, verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Now, the Lord isn't too concerned about the dirt on our physical hands. This is talking about our standing with our Heavenly Father. He doesn't want us to have mischievous hands or hands that hurt others or bribing hands. What He wants us to have is clean hands in His sight. We're to be cleansed through the washing of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be saved. That's the first thing it's talking about. Our standing before God. He wants us to be cleansed in His sight. But then also as believers, He wants us to have those sanctified hands, that daily cleansing before Him. If you want to be able to draw nigh to God, if there is someone out there and they say, "I want to have a close relationship with God," first thing is they need to be saved. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And as a believer, if we want to be close to the Lord and have that close relationship with Him, He expects us to have clean hands as well. You know, if you're all dressed up in some lovely white outfit, I guess men don't wear white outfits too often, but a nice clean outfit at least, nice white shirt, I guess, and so on. And your son is outside where he shouldn't be, playing in the mud, and he comes running in the house, he's got mud all over his hand, and he wants comfort because something scared him out there, or he wants protection, or he just wants a hug, regardless of how much you love him, you're going to say, hey, wait a minute there. You go wash your hands, clean yourself up, then you can get the hug that you want. You're not just going to let him all over you. But our Heavenly Father is holy. And He says, if you want to be close to Me, well then you need to cleanse your hands. You need to be saved, cleansed through the shed blood of Christ. You need to have that sanctification daily in your life. And then you can draw close to Me. Can I ask you, how clean are your hands today in the sight of God? How many mums have called their children to the table? Told them to clean their hands. They get up at the table and sort of hiding their hands behind. And they, have you washed your hands? Yeah. Maybe they did drop a little bit of water on it, you know, so it's not a lie. And they just hide them and then you, well, show me your hands, you know. And you can see it on their face. They sheepishly bring their hands out, you know, and show your hands. And a mother, they're not washed. You go and do it again, all right. I'm sure it's happened in most families. They try and hide the evidence of dirty hands. Well, the Lord wants us to be open with Him. Can you come here today and say, Lord, here are my hands. Search me. See if I'm holy. Lord, I've got nothing to hide. Wash me. Cleanse me. So I can snuggle up close to You. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to do, but He wants us to have clean hands to do it. And that's something He has enabled us to enjoy, that daily cleansing of forgiveness, the Word of God that purifies us as well. We're able to be cleansed, and He wants us to be cleansed, and He beckons us to be cleansed so He can have that close relationship with us. And so He wants us to have clean hands. I also believe He wants us to have skillful hands. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. Now, admittedly, this isn't a commandment. I think this is a reflection of many commandments in the Word of God. And here we see what the Apostle John hath to say. It says there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. Here the Apostle John is explaining his relationship to the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. And he says that I have heard Him with my own ears. I have seen Him with my own eyes, that is, observed His ways. And I have handled Him as well. I have touched the living Word of God as well. And that's why John had such a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew Him. He listened to His words. He observed His ways and saw His miracles, saw the love and compassion that He had on people. He was convinced that He was the Son of God, and he was convinced that that Son of God had a love for him as well. And that produced a sincere and genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ in the Apostle John. You know, some people have that personality that the more you spend with them, the more you love being around them, and the more you love them. As you see their genuine love for you and others and the goodness of their nature. Now, consider how John spent in very close quarters for 3 years. He spent time with the most perfect human being that ever walked upon this earth, the Son of God. He couldn't help but love Him. And he handled Him. He He saw him, spent time with him, and that's why he had a love for him. Now, we don't get the same privilege today. We don't get to handle the living Word of God in person, but we do get to handle the written Word of God, which is the living Word. And the amount that you love the Lord Jesus Christ will depend on how much you have handled the Word of God and how skillful you are in the Word of God. Pastor O'Brien talked about our trusty sword, and that was good in regards. A lot of people want to be skillful with a real sword, but they don't spend much time being skillful with the Word of God. But as we touch our Savior through the Word of God, we will grow to love Him. Question is, when was the last time your hands, these things, touched God's Word? Where you opened it up and you read what Christ is like. When you jotted down things about what you have learned about the Lord Jesus, where you have beheld Him and had fellowship with Him through His Word. We need to be skillful in the Word of God. We need to be someone who says, yes, I may not have handled the living Word of God, but I tell you what, I handle the written Word of God regularly. And I get to know my Savior. You know, for centuries, people didn't have the luxury even of handling the written Word of God. You know, they had to go to church to hear it read. And so, this would be the only time you get to hear the Word of God when I would read it to you on a Sunday. People didn't get to handle the written Word of God. And then there are others that even didn't get to hear the Word of God. I've read many, I'm sure you have as well, of those countries where the communists try to destroy Christianity and they destroy the Bibles. It's illegal to have one. And so many believers, they don't even have the Word of God. And when they come across even a couple of pages, that they treasure that more than gold. And they read it, they memorize it, they study it, and they use it to handle God. And here we are, we have so much of God's Word and we treat it like another bit of paper and another magazine, and we only pick it up every now and then. You know, you want to grow in your love for the Lord, well then you need to be someone who takes these hands and take this book and you start opening it up and you start to read it and you start to study it and you start to grow and understand the miracles that Christ has done and see His love and His patience and see how that is how He loves you. We need to be skillful in the Word of God. Then also we need to have praying hands. If you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 8, this is what the Apostle Paul said. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He wanted us to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. I'm sure we've all seen those pictures of children with their hands together, you know, and that's a picture of prayer. And if anyone sees that picture, you know, you think of praying. Or, you know, with children, we'll say, okay, we're going to pray to God. So let's all close our eyes and put our hands like this and we pray. Now, that's very nice. That's not really what this is talking about, all right? The picture that we have here is really of arms stretched out, and so it's raising your arms and hands and beseeching the Lord. And there's many examples of that in the Word of God. Moses did that. Solomon did that when the opening of the temple, and David did that, and many other people did that as well. Now, what it's really talking about is having a sincere passion and calling upon the Lord to do something. I don't think for one moment this is this emotional thing that a lot of people do in charismatic churches, particularly today. And I'm not promoting for one minute people holding up their hands while we're praying in church. In fact, if you do it, I'll come and ask you to stop it. All right? Because what we see in churches today, in the charismatic areas particularly, are just an emotional-filled atmosphere, and it's got nothing to do with beseeching the Lord like it should be. Usually it's only one hand anyway, not hands. But we're talking about someone that understands that they need God to do a wonderful work. And without God doing a work, nothing will be done. And so they get before the Lord and they cry within their heart. That's what it's really talking about. Someone that is beseeching God to show himself mighty on their behalf. That's what it's talking about. And that's what God wants us to have. People who pray. When was the last time you besought the Lord like that? Not a please bless me prayer. Lord, bless this, bless that, bless everyone. Not even a quick little help me, Lord prayer. I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm saying getting before God and beseeching him for things. That's what the Apostle Paul wanted, that men everywhere will pray, lifting up holy hands, that sign of beseeching. But you know, there are other things that he wants us to do with our hands. We'll only look at some others very briefly. He wants us to have busy hands. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. I'm sure this is a saying. I'm sure I haven't made it up. You know, an idle mind is the devil's playground. All right. Now, I don't know if I made this next one up or I've just heard it somewhere, but idle hands are the devil's tools. I don't know if that's new or not, but I'm taking it as I made it up. Someone else might have made it up before me too. Idle hands? I'm sure that's old. Idle hands? I don't know. Doesn't matter. But we don't want to have idle minds and we don't want to have idle hands. These things are meant to be busy doing things. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, this is what was the desire of Paul, that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Let me read some other verses, Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more. That's not a good thing to use your hands for, stealing. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may give have to give to him that needeth. Use your hands to work so that you may have those things in order to help others. It says in Proverbs 21:25, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. The lazy man refuses to labor. And the Lord wants our hands to be busy doing things. He wants our hands to be busy laboring so that we can provide for ourselves and our family. He wants us to be busy serving him. Serving him. Do your hands work for the Lord here? In what ways do your hands work for the Lord here in this local church? He wants us to have busy hands. He wants us to have caring hands. You know, it says in Proverbs 31:20 about the lady in Proverbs, she stretched out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy, the virtuous woman. Proverbs tells us that this virtuous woman got her hands and she stretched out those hands to help the poor and the needy. She cared for them. We learn of Job that he is a righteous man, God says. And a part of his righteousness was that he was a man that, yes, he had great wealth, but he shared his wealth and he helped the needy and the poor and the fatherless and so on. He cared for those in need. And that is another way where God wants us to be using our hands. He wants these hands to be caring hands. When was the last time you used these hands that God has lent you to care for someone? Maybe cook a meal. Write them an encouraging card. My dad was so blessed to receive an encouraging card from someone here in our church. And he told me a few times about it. Mum and Dad found that such an encouragement. Someone took the time to use their hand to write an encouraging card. It could be just helping in a practical way, fixing something for someone, giving some money to someone, whatever it may be, it's endless. He wants us to use these hands to care for one another. He wants us to have fair hands as well. It says in Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. We need to make sure that we are not stingy with our hands, that when we have the capability of helping someone or if there's something that someone deserves, we should use our hands to make sure that they get what they deserve when we're able to do it. He wants us to have committed hands. It says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Why? "For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave." It says one day you're going to be dead. Until that day, make sure that whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. We need to have committed hands. Whatever we have set our hands to do, continue to do it. Push that load, drag that thing, whatever it may be that God has asked you to do. Committed hands. And I'm sure there are many other things as well. But the important thing to remember is, if you're saved, those things at the end of your arms are not yours. They are God's. And they are on loan to you. And just like Mr. Phillips doesn't want me to grab his ute and go do burnouts down the street, that would bring shame to him. God doesn't want you to just take these things and use them for your pleasure in ways that bring shame to him. Yes, he's happy for them, you to use them in practical ways for your own benefits, but there are certain things he does want you to do with them and certain things he doesn't want you to do with them. And we will have to give an account of how we use this gift in the gift of hands one day. And so as you're using your hands this week, ask yourself, is this something God would be happy with me using these things for? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, there are many without hands. And Lord, they realize how life hard is without them. Some of us may be losing the use of our hands and reminded of what a blessing they are. But Lord, even in this simple thing that we so often take for granted, I pray that our hands will bring glory to you and they will be a picture of what your loving, perfect hands are to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.